My name is Mary Fortuna, but when I worked in the pottery, my name was Mary Keenan. I left school at 16. I went to Foresters High School, and I'd always loved drawing as a child. And when I was 15, I decided to do the art class. I went to life drawing and still life, and then decided to do pottery. I had a really good pottery teacher who was called Mr. Fotheringham, and he taught me how to throw, but I used to enjoy drawing as well. I didn't know what to do when I left school because I wasn't that academic and always loved my art. And my art teacher said, there's a pottery down in Portobello. Why don't you go and visit the pottery? And I thought, yeah, why not? So I went down and I was visiting the pottery when the head lady came up and said, would you like to try and paint a thistle? And I said, yeah, I'll have a go. And she showed me a sample of a thistle and she gave me a brush and told me what paints to use. And I put, I think it was a cup at the time, put it on the wheel. I painted a thistle and she seemed really impressed and said, oh, would you like a job here? And my mum had said to me, you best get a job. So I said yes. And I started off in the pottery when I was 16. So it was all so new to me, straight from school. But all I knew was I was doing something that I enjoyed. And the thought of sitting painting as a job and getting paid for it really appealed to me. I lived in an estate called Broomhouse, which doesn't have a very good name nowadays, but in these days, this was 1967, it was a great place to live. But it was a long way from there to Portobello. So I would either get the number 12 bus all the way there, which would take a good hour, or I would get off at Kirstorfen and I would get a number 26, where I would meet my friend Ruthie, who lived in Kirstorfen. She'd get on the bus. In these days, you were allowed to smoke on the bus. And we always went upstairs to have a cigarette. I always remember the bus would be absolutely full of smoke. And by the time you got to work, your clothes would be reeking of smoke. But in these days, that was just a done thing. We started at 8:30 in the morning, so I must have had to get up quite early to get the bus and get all the way down to Portobello. Everybody was so nice, and all the other girls, and I soon picked up how to paint thistles, and I had to get taught what types of glazes went on the thistles. When you were painting the thistles, when they actually came to you, they came on a big wooden board, and there was a man called Willie, and he used to bring them in on a big board. So you'd maybe get 20 cups at a time, or if it was something bigger, you'd maybe get half a dozen things. Mostly thistles, because I had just started, and Buckins did have other designs, but these were done by the more experienced decorators who'd been there a wee while, longer than me. So you never knew what you were going to get. Every day was different, and when you'd finished doing a board or something, you were quite excited because you thought, I wonder what I'll get next. When the actual pieces to be painted came on the board, they were pink. They were a kind of powdery glaze. They were a pink powdery glaze. And you had a plate with all your colours on it. You had to be very careful because some of the glazes were quite similar. So, for instance, green would be dark brown. Purple would be pale, pale lilac. Pink was pale pink. And blue would be very, very dark grey. But the dark grey looked quite like the blue. Like the green. So you had to be really careful when you were painting that you didn't use the wrong colour. Because if so, you wouldn't be able to sell it, and it you would get into trouble, really. You had to be quite fast. I mean, when I first started, I was quite slow, but then you did get faster. And you got different things. You would maybe get 20, 30 cups on a board. Once you finish them, you maybe get mugs. You got all different things. Buckins did so many things, but mostly thistles because they seemed to be the most popular because they were all hand done. When they were fired, the pale pink glaze would turn to pale blue and the pale purple would turn to dark purple. That was for the top of the thistle. And then the heather, which was the pale pink glaze, would turn out to be very, very dark, sort of pink colour. And the leaves of the thistle, which was the brown paint, would be green. And then after that, they would go through to the kiln and they would be fired. Then they would be stamped with the code number of the design. Working in Buckins, it was an old pottery. I mean, I think it opened in 18 something or other. And it wasn't very modern. I mean, we didn't have microwaves in these days. To heat up our food at lunchtime, all we had was a hot plate. You used to come in the morning and put your dinner on the hot plate, soup or stew or whatever your mum had made. And by the time dinner time came, it was all heated up for you. Now, we did have a toilet, but it was very, very basic. And it was in the middle of a big room, just a bit messy. And the toilet was just a wooden shack, basically. Now, I was always very scared going to the toilet because sometimes the cockroaches would come in from the kiln and I don't know how they managed to get there, but they would get into the toilet. So when you were actually sitting on the toilet, you didn't know if a cockroach was going to crawl across your foot, which actually happened quite a few times. I can't even remember what the toilet paper was like, but I think it was very basic. There was no such thing as sinks and soap and towels. We just didn't have that. Now, on our lunch hour, I always remember we used to go down to the beach, especially in the summer. But I do remember going down in the winter. It was quite bracing. There were shows there, but we didn't go to the shows because you had to pay to go to the shows. And we used to walk along the beach and pick shells and stuff. And also we used to go through to what we called the throwing shop. And the throwing shop was where the pots were actually made by the what we called the throwers. And occasionally, because I got taught how to throw when I was at school, occasionally I would beg the throwers for maybe a little bit of clay and used to do a few pots in my lunch hour. And then we would ask the people who worked in the kiln if they would mind firing it. Sometimes it came out okay, sometimes it wasn't so good. But at least I still was able to throw as well as to paint, which I really enjoyed. Now, when I started, I was put beside a lovely lady called Muriel Kerr. Now, Muriel was actually quite a well-established artist. Muriel didn't keep too well mentally. She had a few wee problems. But they used to let Muriel come in from the place that she stayed and paint thistles. Muriel was a wonderful artist and painted some absolutely amazing stuff. So I learnt a lot from her. Because she was a wee bit kind of moody, never knew what we were going into every day. Some days she would be in a good mood, other days she would maybe have a wee turn. This was quite scary to me because I was just 16 and this was my first job. But let's just say that at the end of the time, because I was in Buckins for about maybe 4.5 years, that we genuinely became best of friends. But it wasn't easy at first. We were allowed to talk and have a chat, and we did have a radio, but in these days it was probably the Archers and the Dales and myself and my friend at 16, we didn't particularly want to listen to the Archers and the Dales. We wanted to listen to Radio One. And I always remember one day my friend Ruth brought in her transistor radio and we were listening to Stevie Wonder, and the other older ladies weren't very happy about that. But anyway, we had a laugh, and as I say, we all got on really well. There was never an awful lot of bad feeling, although all these females were working together in the one place. There was quite a few students came from the art college, but they didn't stay very long. They're maybe just in between their degrees. And so some people did stay, and it was great because we made friends and we all respected one another. And the head decorator, Irene Forbes, was a wonderful lady, and she was a fantastic artist, and she still is. I left the pottery just before it closed. I think it closed in 1972. But in 1971, I got married. So I was leaving because I was getting married, but obviously I knew that the pottery was closing down in 72. I knew they were moving to Crieff, and I think if I hadn't got married, I think I probably would have went up to Crieff and carried on. At the time, I didn't know when I left the pottery that no other job would ever be the same as the pottery. And I had a factory job after I came out of the pottery, and that was a total eye-opener. I think I worked in the Ethicon from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. I was a screener. I used to screen the needles for surgical use, and I absolutely hated it. It was so different from what I'd been doing for the last 4 years. And then eventually my mother in these days said, you have to get a proper job. So I joined the civil service, and again, office work was just not for me. And I wished I'd gone up to Crieff, but I couldn't. By that time I was a married woman, and I had my proper job, but I really missed the pottery.